Welcome to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast, where we aim to give swimming the coverage and publicity it deserves. Every week, we celebrate the sport we love with amazing special guests and topics from around the swimming pool. And now, here are your hosts, Scott and Dan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott, and as usual is my co-host, Dan. Dan, how are you doing? Schools are back now. It must be a lot of hard work for you.
Yeah, well, I'm all good to start with. And yeah, it's the start of a very, very busy week for me. And I'll tell you what, the parents must be over the moon with kids going back after 6 weeks. Or for me, we're at the school I have, it's been 9 weeks. So yeah, I think parents will be over the moon right now. So yeah, but it's busy. It's good though.
Yeah, absolutely. Crazy day for me too, but I'm really excited to get into this. Now, before we start this week's episode, we do need to give a massive apology to everyone. I'm sure listening to our ISL preview, you were really excited about our guest last week. Unfortunately, sometimes timings just don't quite line up with our schedules, with swimming schedules, no matter how much effort is put on from both sides, from both parties. And yep. I'm sure a few people are aware the logistics around ISL is slightly chaotic at times, so it's kind of hard to pin people down. Yeah. However, that being said, on this week's episode, we've got a brilliant guest for you. It's one of the special talents coming through British swimming ranks and a swimmer that Dan has earmarked now as one to watch for the next Olympic cycle and beyond.
Definitely. Yeah, really excited to speak to him today. And yeah, you're the one to introduce him, of course. But yes, very excited. Lots of questions I'm going to be asking. But yes, I've been watching him for a while. So yeah.
So he swims out of Northampton. He's an excellent butterfly and freestyle swimmer, a European junior medalist, and is now a member of London Raw Team at ISL. Welcome to the podcast, Ed Mildred. How are you doing, Ed?
I'm great, thanks. Yeah, that was a little bit flattering, that. Watching me for years.
We've had our eye on your results for a little while, and they have been standout. I think at European Juniors, had Popovici not done his wild thing, in my opinion, you might have been the talk of the meet. It's kind of gone under the radar.
Yeah. In this country especially. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. That was an event in itself, going against Popovici. I mean, we'll I wouldn't say that. I was scared, but... it was quite an event for me. I was like, okay, brilliant.
So on this week's podcast, we're going to talk about ISL. We're going to talk about London Raw. We can't avoid that. We will touch upon Europeans and then a little bit more about maybe what the future is in store for you and a little bit about Northampton Swimming Club, because they're tearing it up right now. They really are. So what's been on today's agenda for the London Raw team in Naples, Ed?
Today's agenda, I had a 7K swim this morning. So starting off hard. Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm trying to get my volume up, especially at the start of the season, just to get a strong base in me. But it's really relaxed, to be honest with you. It's like a normal training schedule, but then we just race like at the weekend or whenever our races are scheduled. Like last week it was Thursday, Friday, so leave all the fast stuff for the racing, but get the volume and training stuff in during the training sessions. So yeah, we had two training sessions today available. You don't have to go to all of them, but I go to all of them because I'm hardcore.
Of course. you're young, you've got loads of energy.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, the amount of times I've heard that.
So basically, are you treating the racing days very much as almost training days? They're still training, they're just fast race pace training sessions.
Yeah, of course. It's early season, you can't put pressure on it like say Europeans or any other major competition towards the end of the season. It's early season, we're all just racing for a bit of fun, and yeah, we're just leaving the fast stuff for the racing pool, really.
So is it the same for every London Raw swimmer? Is everyone doing the high workload and the high meters right now, and then the racing is almost like a bonus? Is everyone in the same boat?
Obviously, people are in different positions. Like the people that went to the Olympics are doing a bit lower workload just because they've had a bit of time off. They're just getting back into things. But doesn't mean they're not racing fast. I mean, look at Duncan at the weekend.
Yeah,
he's not doing a high workload, but he's doing a decent amount, and he's swimming pretty
just a little bit.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Pretty good. Yeah, yeah.
Racing's racing for Duncan. He always goes full out, no matter what it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
So let's start on kind of how you found out that you were going to swim for London, because you, if I remember correctly, you weren't one of the names that were drafted beforehand. You found out a little bit later on down the line when they were trying to fill up their roster. How did that come about?
Yeah, it was a bit of a surprise to me, to be honest. I put myself in for the draft. I watched all of it and was like, nah, I'm not getting picked here, especially towards the end. A little bit gutted at that, but I sort of had it in the back of my mind. I was like, I'll be lucky to get on one of these teams if they choose me. I didn't get on the teams during the draft, and I went to European Juniors. And after that 100 freestyle that we mentioned earlier, Katie Shanahan, who was also on the team, she says to me, Ed, come here on the coach on the way home. And I'm like, what is this going to be? And then she like just showed me a text, and it was from Rob saying that they wanted both her and me on the team. And that's how it happened. It was a bit of a shock to me. I was like, what? I had to keep it quiet for a bit, but I was amazed. I was shocked, but clearly they saw something.
So how come the message didn't come to you?
She was already in contact with Rob at the time. I don't think Rob had my phone number.
It's a nice surprise, though.
He must have seen the race, and I was like, "Yeah, that was like a medal in itself. That was a gold medal in itself."
Exactly why you go to those meets, to kind of get your name starting to go out there as well. So you raced in London's first match of the season. You say it's early season and you're all racing for fun and you're all kind of training hard, starting to break the back of the hard work. But PBs all over the place.
Yeah.
That's impressive at this stage in the season.
Yeah. I mean, I sort of expected it, to be honest, because of the whole of COVID. Mm. We missed the whole short course season last year. So my PBs are from Canada 2 years ago.
Okay.
I went out there wanting PBs because I expected it from myself. I put it out there, and say for the 400 free, I sort of manifested that 352. I was like, 352, that's what I'm going. That's what I'm going. And hopefully I can do that and get quicker next time. So, and then the 100 free shows that my sprinting definitely hasn't deteriorated over the time. So yeah, I was a little bit surprised at that. And obviously happy to see where I'm at.
So you're going to be doing those same races again, or are you going to be venturing into the fly events as well?
We'll see what's coming up. Things can be all over the place with ISL, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. Obviously, we've got Kyle coming in, so big 100 freestyler there. Whether I'll be paired up with him or not, we'll see.
How good would that be?
But yeah, totally up to the management team. That's not me. Brilliant.
Do you get any say in what you're racing whatsoever, or is it a case of they put it up on the whiteboard and that's what you're doing?
Oh no, you can't. You do get a say in what you want to swim. So say if they did put me in for like a 400 IM, I'd be like, I don't know if that's a good idea for you guys.
That sounds like a little rookie hazing if they put you in for a 400 IM.
Initiation type. Yeah,
I don't even dream about that.
So what's it like being surrounded by some of the best swimmers on the planet? This is essentially almost your first senior team, even though it's not kind of Europeans officially, or Worlds or anything like this. It is a senior squad. What's it like learning from the likes of Duncan and swimmers like that?
Yeah, it's my first proper international team. So from all over, because the highest I've raced before is European. So I've never got to swim with people like Americans, Australians, but yeah, it's it's crazy. It's a crazy experience, to be honest with you. Like, looking at all these people in the pool, I'm like, I'd watched you guys on TV for years. So, yeah, it's great to see things and, like, learn from them, in a sense. Like, learn what they're doing in the pool, watch them race, watch them prepare. Like, as a junior coming into a senior environment, it's so helpful. I can't describe how helpful it is. Seeing what people do in the gym, seeing what people eat, it's literally everything. Like, the whole experience, like, yeah.
That is.
I mean, next weekend, if you are on that 100 free, you'll be in the water with Dressel as well. So that's a fun experience as well. So, I mean, big chance for you to, I don't know, soak it up, act like a sponge. I mean, we've spoken to Jacob Whittle before, and he's been around Adam Peaty for a little bit, and Luke Greenbank, and in with that Mel Marshall squad. And it's only good for juniors like you to get that exposure, right? Especially at such a young age, when you're starting to make your transition into the seniors. We know next summer is going to be absolutely mental in terms of racing, because you've got Commonwealths, you've got Europeans, you've got Worlds. Yeah. There's going to be a lot of... There might be a lot of opportunities for you as a junior, so blooding you now with these big names might get rid of that fear in the big environment.
Yeah, it's definitely going to get rid of those nerves. Just get me settled in within the senior environment. Obviously, it's very different to a junior environment. A lot more things on the line. It's people's jobs at the end of the day. You know what I mean? It's what people do for a living. And they're the best of the best around the world. So, hopefully it will settle me in nicely. And like you said, you spoke to Jacob, and he's been training with people like Adam and Luke. And like, for me, training out here, I see myself very similar to Duncan. So, like, just from our physiques and stuff.
Okay.
So just to see what he does and how he trains and stuff like that, I think it's quite useful for me.
Just be a shadow. Follow him around for the week.
Yeah, not bad shadow. Not in a weird way.
So other than Duncan, who? What's your thoughts on the London Raw team? Because, of course, you've said that Carl's yet to come in. You've got Emma McKeon yet to come in. You were 200 points behind Energy. How well do you think London will do overall?
Well, Emma and Kyle just landed tonight. I was actually having dinner with them before I came to speak to you guys.
Nice.
So, yeah, they're obviously very big assets to the team. We're to catch Energy, we're gonna need a lot. Hopefully we can do it. That would be great. But they're a very strong team at the moment. But we've got people coming in, and I reckon exciting things are going to come, because those few people can help move things around, move people into better positions where they're not having to swim events that they don't usually swim, and we can get more points that way and catch those big teams like Energy and Cali.
It's still very early in the season as well. People forget that the final for ISL is, I think it's like slated or penciled in to be February
time. Yeah, I think so.
You've got ages to get the form right, get the selections right. For me, this regular season is justified in being pretty, pretty laid back.
Yeah.
If we move on from ISL slightly and talk about European juniors, we spoke about it in the introduction, how you raced against Papa Vici, and you're probably one of the first people to really race him when he had this buzz. What was it like going into that final knowing basically, well, not the whole world's looking at him, but a lot of eyes were on him for that race,
for the 100 free?
Did it take the pressure off slightly because you knew you could race your own race?
No, I still wanted to beat him if I could. But it was a little bit difficult knowing that he was as quick as he is. And there was a slim chance that I could have him. But he's improved so much since, I think I raced him 2 years ago at European Youth Olympics in the 200 free. and he's improved so much since then. And like I said, I wasn't really nervous going in against him because I know how he swims and I saw him race in the heats. So my aim was to just get as close to him as I can. And if I could beat him, that would be amazing. But if not, then second place, I was still chuffed with that. Obviously, I swam a massive lifetime best. So, and the time that I did would have won in Russia when I went before. Yeah. So I wasn't disheartened with how I swam. And, you know, you have these exceptions and I have no doubt that I'll catch up to him someday, hopefully. So,
well, you must have been happy overall with your swims. Like you said, massive PB. And I believe, was it a British age group record in 100 fly as well?
Yes. Yeah, it was. Yeah, the 100 fly was an interesting one. So obviously I was first coming out of the heats, and then I won my semi-final and then got that 52.2. And then because it was an outdoor pool in Rome, if people know the pool, it's an amazing pool. It's so beautiful. One of the best pools I've ever swam in. But of course it's outside and you have the wind. And down that back 50, there was the wind. And people noticed that on poolside, but from a video, you might not notice it. And I was a bit disheartened with my, I think it was 52.7, especially as I went half a second quicker than that in the semis. But third place in that, still a medal at European Juniors, and I'm not going to play that down. Still chuffed with it.
Should be happy.
Still
with that,
chuffed definitely. With it. But it was interesting. It was an interesting one. New situation that I've been in. But yeah,
you're one of the. There's a collection of young talent who are starting to medal at these European Junior meets. So you've got Matt Richards, who won gold a few years ago. The amount of young talent coming through these GB ranks is super exciting. Do you think it's a case of the success right at the top has dominoed effect down, or do you think kind of there's a pathway for you guys right at the bottom now to make these junior internationals and transition over onto the senior internationals as well? Do you think that transition period is a bit easier for you guys now?
Yeah, I mean, it's different for different people. I can't speak for everyone because I'm still going through the transition period myself. And it's never easy in whatever sport you do to go from a junior to senior. It's never easy. But I think the influence that people like Adam have had shows that it is possible. You can, like us British kids, can breach the very top and break world records and win the Olympics and win worlds. And I think the program that British swimming have with the lottery funding and everything like that is just leading all of us younger ones in the right direction, and it's paying off. We're meddling at junior stages and we're pushing at those senior stages. So I think it's really paying off. Whatever they're doing is working. So
it must fill you with a massive amount of confidence to see swimmers like Tom Dean at the Olympics, for example. So he went from Maidenhead to Bath to Olympic gold. It must, I don't know, it's just the fact that your journey through swimming at a young age now, you're not forging your own path. You can follow in the footsteps, and that they're successful footsteps to follow along. I think, I don't know, for me, it's a massive benefit for these guys now, the young ones like yourselves moving on from European Juniors. There's a tried and tested technique to get these guys onto international podiums now.
Of course, yeah. He's come through a very similar program to me from a small club and progressing through the senior ranks and managing to get 2 Olympic golds, which is incredible. And to know that pathway has been forged in a way is inspiring for me, to know that he was in a very similar situation to me, to know that I'm following the same journey, and if I could get to the position he's been in, that's incredible. And yeah, is like Dave McNulty's done an amazing job with him. He hasn't been there long. He's been there only a couple of years.
No, and he got COVID as well.
Twice.
I got caught with that.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, did you? So you were training with him for a little while in Bath, and did you get isolated because you were his training partner?
I went down there to do a couple testing things for British Women that they only had access in Bath rather than Loughborough for some of the things. So I went to Bath to train.
Okay.
I came with them for a weekend, and I didn't get COVID, thankfully, but I ended up being a close contact and obviously had to isolate them for
what a nightmare.
2 weeks or whatever. It was a nightmare, but it's fine.
That's a nice experience for your first kind of senior training experience. Suddenly, you're locked away for a few weeks.
Oh, it was fine. It was like, what, December at that point. So, nothing massive at that point. But yeah, a little bit annoying to get caught up in that. But of course, I was his training partner for a little bit, and I got him those two gold medals.
Of course. That's the mentality to have, absolutely.
Yeah, I would prefer if they were my two gold medals, but I'll less time.
Well, you've only got 3 years till Paris, so...
I was going to say, hopefully your time will come.
Yeah.
Shall we touch upon Northampton a little bit as a club? Because to the wider worldwide audience, for which this podcast has, believe it or not, people won't know them. People won't have heard of Northampton Swimming Club. British Swimming, yeah, probably you're very well heard of, especially in the para side. So there was four Paralympians out of the 25 that came from Northampton. There was yourself and I believe another swimmer who went to European Juniors. Dan, Harvey. You will be able to. There we go.
Harvey Freeman, yeah.
Yeah. So this clearly a successful pathway for you guys, and it's been in place now, I would have said, for a long period of time to have this number of swimmers competing on the international stage. What is it in the waters at Northampton or the setup at Northampton that is leading to this success?
A little amount of chlorine and less poisoning in the water. It's done us greatly. No, all jokes aside, Northampton Swimming have done great. They've been building this program for so many years. Right back from when I was swimming, and to see it's all coming together is great. And both the able body and powered swimmers did an amazing job during the summer.
So is it a case of you guys are learning skills when you're a junior? Is it a case of, I don't know, because there are some programs like Sheffield which are built on a massive aerobic base. What is it that Andy and Jackie are getting you guys doing from a young age, which is meaning you guys are successful as you are now?
Yeah, I'd say you mentioned Sheffield there, and I'd say we're quite a similar program to Sheffield. Okay. We run a high like aerobic base program, mainly around freestyle and medley. So it just gives the options for freestyle swimmers, long distance freestyle swimmers, because we've had quite a good history in long distance freestylers. This was before I was swimming. And then it's just about keeping doors open, because you never know what will happen as bodies change, as people get older. As people progress through swimming, you got to keep your doors open, because you never know. I might go from being a freestyle butterfly swimmer like me to doing medley or to doing backstroke or something like that, because things change. And
we were speaking to Jacob Peters just before the Olympics, and he started out as a 200 meters butterfly swimmer when he was at Poole. and then he moved on over to Bath. And me and Dan, actually, before we spoke to him, thought he was a 50 meters free butterfly swimmer. So it you're right. It's the way that you can transition at such a later age. Whether you move on from Northampton and go to a national center and they pick up, actually, you know what, you're a 400 meters freestyler, not a 100 meters freestyler. The fact that you were at a young age, they've given you that massive aerobic base, means that you have the ability to find what works for you when you're a senior.
Yeah, you have the ability to explore. And when you're racing at a young age, you do so many events. You do pretty much every event on the program. You probably experienced it yourself, and you're absolutely shattered by the end of the weekend.
Yeah.
But you've done so much racing, but it's good for you. You get to experience all the different events, and you get to find what works for you and what doesn't work for you. And if you keep those options open, things will change. And it's not a bad change, it's a good change. You'll find what works for you.
So, I like it. When did you find out that it was 100 free and 100 fly? When did you find out that those were the ones that worked for you?
Yeah, I've always been pretty good at the fly events, to be honest with you. Freestyle and fly, I've always been pretty close, even from my junior league, to be honest with you. But it's funny because I was just thinking then, I remember when I was 11 years old and I was doing backstroke, and my mum goes to me, Ed, you realize our highest FINA points are on backstroke? And I'm like, what? But I don't like backstroke.
I tell you what, I've done that since I've stopped swimming. I went back and had a look at my FINA points, and I always thought I was good at a 50 meters freestyle, and then you look back and just like, why did no one point that out to me?
Yeah,
that actually my best event was something else.
Yeah, no, but of course I just went with what I enjoy, and I enjoyed then flying free, so I carried those on. But I'd say I didn't really shorten the list down to hundreds and 200s for both freestyle and butterfly until about 2019.
That's 16. Were you
16 years old? I kind of realized that these are my events, and these are what I want to swim. I think it was, and I really struggled, believe it or not, with the 200 free for a long time when I was younger.
It's quite tough.
I still did well at a junior level. I still won a national championship. Compared to my 400 and my 100 free, it was nowhere near as good as it could have been. So I spent a long time trying to how to swim the 200 free, and I'm still learning now. The 200 is such a hard event to swim, and same with the 200 fly. I'm nowhere near at my best. I feel how good my 100 fly is. I feel like my 200 fly is still waiting for a big drop, and I'm still trying to figure out what is best for me. So I don't know if you guys watched at the Glasgow meet earlier on in the year.
Yeah.
I went out quite hard on the first 100. Because I'm still learning. I'm just trying to figure out what works for me. So
that's the perfect time to do it as well. And I can't remember who we spoke to last year when they said, you know what, it's suddenly a light bulb moment went. And it clicked, and I knew how to swim a 200 free. That might just come. Yeah. You might just race and race and race, and suddenly you play about with it enough that actually that moment comes, and you realize just like, oh, that's how it works for me.
Yeah. I actually had, like you said, a light bulb moment. I think my PB for 200 free was a 156. I think it was like, of all events, it was at counties, and I dropped to a 153, and that was when I probably learned how to end the event. I was like, I did this, and then on the last 50, I just hammered home, and it worked. And I'm not saying that's the complete package, but I'm still learning from even then, because that was when I realized, this is how it works. This is what happened.
it's all a process, isn't it? You have to learn from, you know, different tactics. Going out hard, if that doesn't work, then you have to pace it. And the tactic I used to do was go out hard on the third 50 and then survive on the last 50. That's the way I used to do it. But tactics for different people.
That's a very fun tactic, that.
Yeah. So what's your plan for the future then? Are you going to stay with Northampton, or are you going to be looking away to Loughborough or Bath? Or what's the plan?
Well, this is quite recent news to the whole swimming world, I guess. But within the past week, I've come face at Bath National Centre, and I've got an apartment down there. So I'm going to be training down there with Dave McNulty's group.
Is this almost breaking news?
Exclusive.
This is breaking news. Swimming breaking news.
Very nice. Great coach to go to. And I mean, you just have to look at how many 200 freestyle finalists at British Champs or Olympic trials they had. It's certainly a very good setup to be going
into. The training partners you're going to have now. I mean, you've got Olympic champions all over the place. I mean, it's just going to be a sensational team. I mean, the 4x2 in Paris could just be Bath. How good would that be? Oh, my God.
Yeah,
of course, you've got Duncan, so I don't know. It's going to be quite hard to do. So.
No, we can break him down, but.
So what's the target for this season coming? So obviously you're moving off to Bath when you get back from ISL, I presume.
Yes.
What's going to be the target meet for you? Are you looking to make the team for Worlds? Is it commies? Do you think there's a gap opening up? Because there's going to be a lot of racing, so there might be a lot of places which people might be a bit flexible with their racing.
Yeah, it's going to be a pretty intense year, especially towards the summer. It's going to be quite intense because of the whole COVID situation. Mm. Everything's being rammed into one season. But I think for me, the aim, especially at the start of the season, is to just integrate into that Bath program nicely. If I can do that and get everything set up, get used to living on my own, providing for myself. Because they're big changes in itself, and you have to have everything up to swim fast. So for early season, they're my main goals. But late season, obviously, to qualify for Worlds, commies, you've got to aim high. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Aim high for Worlds, and. Once I've qualified for those, it's then semis and finals for commies and Worlds, and I'd like to improve on my Europeans from this year our swimming season, but I'd like to improve from that. Obviously, the whole experience was amazing, but I feel like there's a lot more for me to offer at that level to what I did. Got the whole experience out of the way, and then now's hammer time, and I'm ready to put my name out there on a senior level.
It sounds like you got your head screwed on correctly, and I think honestly there's a clear path, and there's spaces available in the British team, and the British team is looking pretty good right now. It's a top sport in the Olympics this year. And I just think it's going to go leaps and bounds, to be honest with you.
I tell you what, we've spoken to a lot of the young guys coming through Bath as well, who have just moved there within like the past, I don't know, 12 months. They're really, really good guys. And the way they train is, it sounds hardcore. So good luck with that one.
Yeah, but that's what we're built on. Swimmers are got to be ragey.
Hopefully this edit goes well, and no one can tell the struggles we have had with your Naples Wi-Fi. It has been really hard work for us, but Ed, we've really enjoyed having you on this podcast. I'm really looking forward to what happens over the next 12 months. Like I said, Dan's earmarked you for the Olympic cycle and beyond. We think there's really special things that, like you said, there's gaps opening on relay teams for you to start making a name as well. Before we finish this podcast, we do usually finish with some quick fire questions for our professional guests. Do you sound up for those?
Yeah, sure. I'm up for anything.
Okay. So what is your favorite event?
100 fly.
Who is your swimming idol?
It used to be Chandler Clough, but probably now Caleb Dressel.
Okay, yeah.
Nice. I'm looking forward to Saturday if you get to race him.
I know, yeah.
What's your proudest moment in swimming?
Standing on a podium and hearing the national anthem play for me, that was quite an experience.
What's the hardest set you've ever done in training?
10 400s IM.
Oh, that's pretty always brutal. The IM ones.
No,
always.
Actually.
Always.
Actually, no. Change the plan. 2100s fly.
Ooh. Is that short rest? I imagine it's like 140 turnaround. What is it? What's the turnaround?
I think that was off 140.
Yeah, that's not easy.
Brutal. Brutal that.
And final question. If you were to go on a road trip, there's three spaces in the car. Who would go with you? And they can be friends, family, or celebrities.
Oh.
This question gets everyone, so don't worry.
Yeah, I'm going to go the celebrity route just to spice things up a bit. I think I'd go with Caleb Dressel. He seems like a nice guy. He seems like a good guy.
Oh, he's a celebrity.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, I'd put him on the celebrity level.
Yeah.
I reckon we'd go with, you know, the astronaut Tim Peake, British astronaut. Yeah. I'd like to speak to him. I think that would be quite cool.
Nice.
And I'm struggling to think of the last one. Tom Cruise. I think he'd be quite good to talk to.
That's a different name that we've never had before. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. Awesome, Ed. Well, you've been a brilliant sport through what has been a very hard podcast with Wi-Fi issues, but we've thoroughly enjoyed speaking to you. Best of luck out in Naples for the rest of ISL, and we certainly have our eye on you for the rest of the season, as everyone listening should do as well.
Definitely.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, thank you very much. Good luck to you, and hopefully we'll catch up with you again soon.
Yeah, hope so. It's been good.
Definitely. So if you haven't subscribed already, please do so on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or Spotify, or any other podcast providing platform. You'll find us anywhere. We will be back next week with another guest. Hopefully the Wi-Fi will be a little bit better, Dan. I can't do this again. But in the meantime, we will see you guys in 7 days' time.
Yeah, catch you on the next one, guys. Thank you.
Subscribe.
You've been listening to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast with Scott and Dan. We want to thank you for joining us and invite you to subscribe to the show, as well as checking out the Propulsion Swimming YouTube channel for weekly tutorials and videos to get your swimming fix. We will be back next week. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.